Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Second Chronicles 18. Please mark the words, it's Chronicles, not Corinthians. Second Chronicles 18. And I will be reading verse 1 to 8, then verse 14 to 17 as well. Oh, just to let you know, the reason we stand is not because of a ritual, it's because the Psalms tell us God has exalted His word above everything else and His name. So we are in honor of His word. Amen. Verse 1, reading down to verse 8. Now Jehoshaphat had great riches and honor, and he made a marriage alliance with Ahab. After some years, he went down to Ahab in Samaria. And Ahab killed an abundance of sheep and oxen for him and for the people who were with him, and induced him to go up against Ramoth Gilead. Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, "Will you go with me to Ramoth Gilead?" And he answered him, "I am as you are, my people as your people. We will be with you in the war." Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Inquire first for the word of the Lord." And the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, 400 men, and said to them, "Shall we go to battle against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain?" And they said, "Go up, for God will give it into the hand of the king." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here another prophet of the Lord of whom we may inquire?" And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, Micaiah the son of Imlah, but I hate him, for he never prophesies good concerning me, but always evil." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." Then the king of Israel summoned an officer and said, "Bring quickly Micaiah to the son of Imlah. Skip with me to verse 14. And when he had come to the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I refrain?" And he answered, "Go up and triumph. They will be given into your hand." But the king said to him, "How many times shall I make you swear that you speak the truth to me, nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" And he said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd." And the Lord said, "These have no master. Let each return to his home in peace." And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil?" Now, Father, as we have read your word and heard your word, may it be a blessing to our hearts. May you speak to us with simplicity, with clarity, yet with the convictions that come from the Holy Spirit. And may the power of your word transform us from the inside out, that your name shall be glorified, even as you strengthen your servant and anoint him. In Jesus' name, everyone say, amen. You may be seated. We are at the end of our sermon series, Spirit Empowered Discernment. And we do hope and pray that you will put to practice the things you have been taught on how you can discern the various aspects of spirituality. Whether how you can discern whether the gospel is true, how you can discern the prophet's words, all that we have taught you. Because Spirit Empowered Discernment was about equipping you and I to become the people that can distinguish truth from error, good from wrong, good from bad, truth from a false situation. And as you lean in on the person of the Holy Spirit, then you are able to distinguish, because He will guide you into all truth. And our key text for this series has been 1 John 4:1, that says, "Brothers, do not believe every spirit, but test them to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone into the world." Those are key texts. And today we want to land that and end that by bringing yet another aspect of discernment that I believe is critical to our lives. And the question we are asking is, God speaking? We want to discern true prophecy. Hallelujah. We want to discern true prophecy. It is a thing that is going on in the world, in our country. Prophecy, prophet, prophesy. It's bringing quite a bit of confusion and pain wherever you go. I mean, if you consider the text that we just read, King Ahab You know, and Jehoshaphat were going to war and they were inquiring, can we inquire of the Lord what would happen? When you read the Bible and you go to many other aspects of the scripture, you will find over and over people inquiring of the Lord, people desiring to know what God wants to do, or people wanting to know what will happen when I go to this direction. You know, people want to know what does the future look like. Matthew 24, 3 to 4, the disciples came quietly to Jesus and said, when will these things be? When will the end times come? When is this going to happen? And Jesus tells them the future of what's going to happen. And it's not only people in the Bible, but even you today. You want to know what tomorrow holds. You want to know your future. You want to have a glimpse of what the reality is going to look like. So right now, people are asking, who is going to win the World Cup? And people want a prophecy around that. Who is going to be the next president of Uganda? 2031. We are all waiting. Don't be scared. It is natural life. Some of you are scared when you hear some of these things. No. Whom am I going to marry? Which job should I take? What career path should I have? Where is this sickness coming from? And so we want to inquire of the Lord. We want to know what's happening. We want guidance. We want instruction. And it's okay to ask these things. But the question here is, how do you know that God is speaking? How do you know that the word you are receiving is from the Lord? How do you know that this prophecy is true? I mean, Ahab summoned 400 prophets. I want you to think about this for a moment. How many prophets? 400. And they all came and prophesied, go! God has given you the victory. Oh, don't we all want to hear that? Don't we all want to hear, yes, God is on your side and he's on your side. We all want to hear this. But there was one man who comes and says, you're going to be destroyed. Which one is true? So you have to discern. How do you know this is true? How? And that's where we are going to wrestle today. Because when you read verse 22 of the text we just read, you know, when you continue to 22, it actually says a lying spirit from the Lord came upon the 400 prophets to cause Ahab to go to war. Do you know why? Because God wanted to destroy Ahab. Ahab was a wicked king. Ahab was the husband to the woman called Jezebel, who caused the nation of Israel to turn away from God and follow after idols. So it is true then that prophecies can be powered by lying spirits, right? But also prophecies can be powered by the Holy Spirit. So the question is, which one is which? So is God speaking, and how do you discern true prophecy? Let me just establish a couple of common ground here around prophecy and the purpose of prophecy. Just to give you the definitions around prophecy is that there's two words, prophecy and prophesy. Prophecy is the divine message received and declared. So when I receive a message from God and I declare it, that's the prophecy. To prophesy is the activity of declaring. So when I begin to tell you what God has said, I am doing what? Prophesying. So prophecy is prophesying is to declare a prophecy. Make sense? So if we are together, we praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, let's just go a bit farther. Prophecy has two aspects to it. One is called forthtelling. The other is foretelling. To forthtell is to receive a word of God in a current situation or in a very nearby situation about what God wants to happen or what's going to happen in that situation. So take it this way. You receive a word to call people back to repentance. You receive a word to encourage people. You receive a word to rebuke people. You receive a word to comfort people. You receive a word that gives instruction. That is forthtelling. It's in the moment. It's now. It's for your day-to-day life and activity. All right? That is forthtelling. And when you read the Bible, like what these guys were looking for, they were looking for a word from God, which is forthtelling. But then there's foretelling. This is when, by the Holy Spirit, you're able to predict future events. Case in point, the birth, life, death, and resurrection of who? Jesus. Prophesied many years before he showed up. Actually, the prophecy about Jesus was foretold in Genesis chapter 3. And the seed of the woman will do what? Crush the head of the serpent. Fulfilled thousands of years later. That is foretelling. And so, if that is what prophecy is, what is the purpose of prophecy? What is the purpose of prophecy? Three simple purposes that I want to share with you today. The first one is this: to reveal God's heart and plan. What's his heart? What's his plan for people? What does God want to do? How does God see things? What is his desire in the situation we are in? And I want you to walk a very quick journey with me through the book of Genesis. When you start at chapter 3, God reveals his plan of salvation when he says that the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. But when you come into Genesis chapter 6, the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came to Noah that God was going to destroy the earth. Therefore, Noah, build yourself an ark. We know that Noah did this for about 100 years. God had told him his plan. It's the same when you go to Genesis chapter 12. When God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, leave your kindred, leave your people, and go to the land that I will show you. Indeed, I will bless you and I'll make you a what? A blessing, and you'll be a father to many nations. That is the word of God to reveal his plans for the nation, for the person of Abraham, which eventually becomes the nation of Israel. Go to Jeremiah 29. And I want to use Jeremiah 29 because God explicitly says this. The children of Israel were being told by false prophets that they were about to leave. In 2 years, you're going to leave. But God had said, you will dwell for 70 years in where? In exile. So God comes and says, look, don't believe those prophets. I didn't say anything. It is me who sent you to exile. So plant houses, plant gardens, get married, have children. Come on, have a normal life there. And verse 11 says, for I alone know the plans that I have for you. So prophecy, through prophecy, the Lord reveals his heart and his plans for us. Right? But number two, the purpose of prophecy is also to call people back to repentance. It's to call people back to righteousness. It is to call people back to what God desires of them. And when you read the entire Old Testament, greatly through the entire Old Testament, over and over, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Micah, Zerubbabel, all these were always calling people back to the Lord, back to covenant faithfulness, back to what God had asked of them. So when you think about prophecy, prophecy must, in its purpose, serves to re-anchor us in the things of God, in righteousness, in truth, in holiness. That is the purpose of prophecy. When you read it, read the scriptures, you will see. One of them is to call people back to holiness, to righteousness. And the final purpose of prophecy that I will share, there's a few others, but you can read that in the scriptures as you study, is found in 1 Corinthians 14 and 3. It says that he who speaks or who prophesies does so to bring encouragement, to bring comfort to who? To the hearers. That's what it says right there. Strengthens, encourages, and comforts. That's the purpose of prophecy. And here's the thing that we must pay attention to, because if we do not understand the purpose of prophecy, if we are not able to test whether prophecy is true or false, then we will fall in the same predicament of Ahab. Ahab did not listen. Indeed, the Lord put lying spirits on the prophet so that he would destroy Ahab. And if we do not discern right, guess what will happen? We will be destroyed. And if you think I'm lying, you need to listen carefully to what's happening in our city and in our country. There are people who have lost their marriages because they believe they're a false prophet. There are people who have lost their jobs because of false prophets. There are people who are bedridden and sick and have died because of false prophets. So it's important for us to discern. We don't just take anything and run with it. No. There's nothing wrong with prophecies coming. But there's everything wrong when you don't test the prophecies. 1 Thessalonians 5, and 19 reads, "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test all things. Hold on to what is true and reject whatever is evil." When you have tested the prophecy and it is true, hold on to it. But if you test it and it is false, reject it. This is the word of God. This is God saying, test the prophecy. And so that's where I want us to go, to test the prophecy. Because in the Old Testament, there were a few prophets, okay? Few people like Samuel, like Nathan, Prophet Nathan, like Jeremiah, like Isaiah, like Micaiah, few. The Spirit of God rested on a few of them. But in the last days, and this is why you have to pay attention, that we must test these prophecies. In the last days, every believer has the potential to prophesy. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. Apostle Peter says, in the last days, the Lord said, "I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. On my maid servants, on my male servants, I will pour out my Spirit and they will prophesy." Look, God wants every one of us, at least from what I read, desires for every one of us to be able to receive divine revelations from Him. No more is it locked to a few people. He's now saying, anyone that has my Spirit upon them has the potential to prophesy. Every one of us has the potential to receive a word from God if you're born again and you have the Spirit of God. That means we no longer depend on a special class of professional prophets. Now, get me here. There are still prophets active that are genuine in the church. In fact, the office of the prophet is still very alive in the church. Very alive. Ephesians 4:11. Scripture says, "And God gave apostles and what? Prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers." The purpose of the prophets, pastors, evangelists, apostles, and teachers is one purpose: to build the body of Christ. When you read in Acts chapter 11, Agabus was a prophet who prophesied the famine that will happen in Jerusalem, and it happened. In Acts chapter 21 in verse 10, he prophesied again accurately that Paul would be arrested and taken to Rome. And imprisoned in Rome. Correctly prophesied that. And I love in verse 9 of Acts chapter 21, it says, and Philip had four virgin daughters, meaning that they were unmarried. In verse 9. And these four virgin daughters were what? Prophets. They used to prophesy. So prophecy is for anyone who is a believer and is hungry enough to wait on the Lord. You can receive a word from God. So the question is, how do you discern true prophecy? How do you discern that it's God speaking to you or to somebody else? How do you discern this? And I want to use that angle, both what you receive and what you receive from someone else and what you receive from the Lord. How you discern this? Four tests. And these tests are not new to you, but we are going to customize it to discerning prophecy. The very first test is the Jesus test. Revelation 19 and 10, while the Apostle John is in the Spirit, the Bible tells us that he sees this amazing marriage supper of the Lamb and he's in awe. And an angel of the Lord shows up and tells him what is happening. And the Bible says in verse 10 that John fell on his face to worship the angel, but the angel says, "Do not worship me, for I am a fellow servant like you and with all the brothers that carry the testimony of what? Jesus." I'm going to come back to that in a moment. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Listen, the primary reason the Spirit gives the gift of prophecy is not necessarily to predict the future. Not only to predict the future or give you instruction, but prophecy is given to bear witness to Jesus. Prophecy must bear witness to Jesus. If the prophecy does not draw your heart to Jesus, it is very questionable. One of the prophets that I've watched and I've followed for a number of years made a comment and said, prophecy should lead you to intimacy with Jesus. So every time you receive a prophecy, it should be drawing you to who? To Christ. So the thing that you have received, the word you've received, does it draw you to Jesus? Does it draw the other person to Jesus? Or does it draw them to you, or you to the person that gave you the prophecy? You see, the Bible says the testimony of Jesus. What is the testimony of Jesus? The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. In other words, the Spirit of God from the book of Genesis through to Revelation has exalted one and only one truth, that there's no other salvation except through the person of Jesus. From Genesis, it speaks about the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. In the New Testament, it tells us that Jesus is what? Coming back. The heart of prophecy is to exalt Jesus. It is a continuous witness that Jesus is Lord and Jesus is the Savior. So the prophecy you have received, the word you have received, does it point you to Christ or away from Christ? Deuteronomy chapter 13, 1 to 5 is a portion where God says, if a prophet shall come among you and he has a dream or a vision and he tells you the dream or the vision and it comes to pass, then he says to you, let's follow after gods that you have not known. Don't follow him. Put it this way. A prophecy may come true, but still lead you away from Jesus. Just because it has come true does not mean that it is of God. Because the devil can actually use what he knows about you to make you feel that it's from God. So, does the prophecy draw you to Christ or away from Christ? Does it bear witness to Jesus? Does it exalt Christ or not? Please ask yourself those questions. How does this prophecy help me become more intimate with Jesus? Let me say this. It's not about defeating. I have seen in you. You drive a silver blue car, right? Yeah. Yes, I do. Yesterday you went to XYZ. Yeah. This is what the Lord is saying to you, okay? That tomorrow at this time, you are getting a salary increment. You must exalt Jesus. I want you to pay attention to something the angel says. Don't worship me. So does the prophet or the messenger draw the credit to himself? Do they want you to exalt them? To treat them like they're the best thing that ever happened to humanity? To walk on eggshells when you're around them because they have given you a word of knowledge? It must exalt Jesus. It must point you to Jesus. Amen. Test number two is what we call the body test. The body test. What is the body test? It's really what you'd call the church test. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 reads and says that all of us are able to prophesy, but we must be willing to what? Weigh carefully what is said. In other words, any one of us, listen, I already said it earlier, all of us are able to prophesy. Yes, there are people who are in the office of the prophet, but all of us are able to prophesy. So if you receive a word of knowledge or a word of prophecy from the Lord, the Bible says, submit that word to the church. Because you might be hearing a word that is specific for yourself and not for the church. Or you may have received a word that is totally off. We must learn to submit it. Listen to me, friends. If ever you receive a word of prophecy, if ever you receive a message, you're told this is a message from God for you, take that message, submit it to a group of mature Christians. Says, can you help me discern whether this is truly from God? The reason many people have suffered with false prophets or false prophecies is that we immediately run with it and don't subject it to tests. We must be willing to submit that word. If the Lord gave me a word, let me tell you, by the way, let me say this to you. And again, let me speak as a prophet and as a man of God. If you are willing to seek God, you will begin receiving prophecies. And when God starts giving you prophecies, make sure you can submit it to other people. He says, guys, Enos, I have been sensing this. You pray about this with me. Are we together? The Bible says, in a multitude of godly counsels, there is what? Safety. Where there's godly counsel, there is safety. You can save yourself pain and heartache. There are people who have lost their jobs. There are people who have lost their marriages. Oh, the man of God, the prophet, gave me a word from the Lord that my husband is the wrong one. People. Okay, you take it. Go to the people, believers, and you ask, guys, is it true that my husband is the wrong one? You know why some people are quick to let go of this? Because they're already suffering in their marriage, so they feel like, it is my cue to run out. No, stay in there. Die with your gonya. Are we together here? Submit it. Whether the Lord gives it to you directly or you receive it from someone. Many years ago, in 1 year, I think I received about 6 messages or 7. I wrote them down somewhere. And some of them have come to pass. And I thank God for that. And none of them took me away from the Lord. It took me to Jesus more and more. I'd never really received messages like this before. So I walked over to Pastor Gary. I said, Pastor Gary, what do you do when you receive prophecies? And Pastor Gary said something very similar to me. And he has not told me alone. He has told a couple of other pastors. I found out. I thought I was a special child until someone else said, don't tell me Pastor Gary told me this. I said, oh, okay. We're in the same spirit. And he said, receive it, because the Bible says, don't despise what? Prophecies. Receive it. Take it back to the Lord and say, Lord, if this is your plan and your desire for me, I surrender it to you and you establish it at your right time. The problem with most of us, we receive the prophecy and want to establish it in our time. Even if it's true, even if it points you to Jesus, some of us want it now. No, submit it to the Lord and let him execute it at his own timing. The third test is what we call the fruit test. And this fruit test is two ways. It's the test of the fruit of the prophet or the one who has received the message, but also the test of what the message does to you. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 reads and says that be careful, for there are many what? False prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves, and you will recognize them by their fruit speaks of the character of their lives. What does their life look like? What is their characteristic? Are they humble? Are they actually God-fearing? Do they speak well of the name of Jesus? Do they seek the Lord genuinely? I mean, what's their life outside the ministry? When in their community, what do you know about them? What is said about them? The Bible says, you must be a man above reproach. Is there reproach in their lives? So check it out. One of the quick ones I know is that they are arrogant. They are normally flamboyant. They are normally prideful. I have a word for you. You better listen to this word. If you don't listen to this word, God, you're going to miss. Don't miss your moment, man. Listen to the word of God now. God says, no, you don't debate it. Don't debate it. Receive it. Ah. Are you following? Pride. You need to sow a seed so that the Lord will establish what he has just told you. Now, you have to be careful. There's manipulation here. If the word is from the Lord, why am I sowing a seed to you? Okay, if the Lord says, let me sow a seed, let me also first go and submit it to the body of what? Believers. There's places you go to, and I've heard and I've seen, where you cannot question the word. His word is final. No. Don't question the prophet's word. You are not God. You are not Jesus. I will test your prophecy. Look, I will honor the men of God, but I fear God more than I fear men. Some of you are going to start receiving words from the Lord. Please don't become puffed up. Those people are not spiritual. They don't receive from the Lord. They don't have the deep things. Because you received two words of words from the Lord, it came to pass. Now you feel you know everything. Stay humble. Because the Lord can uproot you as quickly. Some of you will be raised up in that area, but you must stay humble. Don't get puffed up. Walk in the fear of God. The other side to it is, yes, there's the prophet himself or the person with the message. The other one is, what when that message is shared, what does it do for you? Again, one of it is still a Jesus test, right? Does it draw me to Jesus? But the other one I want you to consider is 1 Corinthians 14 that we just read. Does it bring comfort? Does it bring encouragement for you to remain in the faith? Does it strengthen your resolve to walk with Jesus? Does it help you become more and more? Like, what does it evoke inside of you? Does it bring fear, doubt, anxiety, worry? I can tell you, if a prophecy is of the devil or from the devil, you will always have a sense of, my spirit has jammed. What does it do? So test the prophecies. Hallelujah. Does it meet the purpose? Does it call me to repentance? That's why it's important to have the body test. Because there are certain things, let me tell you, there are certain things that are very hard to discern. For example, which job should I take? You have an offer before you. Each one of them pay you well. There is a good, benefits. Everything is good. It's juicy. All. But which one? It's not in the Bible how you can choose which career. Is it there? But it gives you clues, right? Yeah, it does. So you submit. That's why I say you submit it to the Lord and say, guys, help me. And then as people are hearing from the Lord, they tell you, this is what I hear God say to you. Where there's a witness of two or three that is aligned with the word of God, then you go for it. Some of you, I don't say this to cause any frustration or pain, but there was a group of witness, and even in your heart, there was a witness not to marry someone, and you went ahead and married them. Now, you can't divorce them. But I can say this to you. God is a redeemer. And he can redeem you. Not by divorce, that will be his call. But he can redeem you. I was on the fruit test. I don't know how I went back there. So what's the fruit of their lives? What does this word do? Does it align with the purpose of Scripture, with the purpose of prophecy? Which brings me to the final test. And that's called a Scripture test. A Scripture test. And I want to read for you 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. It actually says this. Men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy One. No, go back one. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. In other words, prophecy does not originate from man. But from where? Men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Paul tells Timothy that all scripture is inspired by God. Therefore, the greatest, one of the most effective tests to prophecy is that, does it align with scripture? Because the Spirit who caused man to declare his word and to write down the word cannot tell you anything contrary to his word. So there's a burden that hits, because I've had stories and know people who received a prophecy, so to speak, to leave their jobs and start street preaching. Where does food come from? Listen, God didn't call us to be beggars as we are preachers. No. Yes, he says, and a laborer is worth his what? His due, his wage, right? Yeah. But you see, you have to be very careful. Paul, the apostle, was a tent maker. Lydia was a linen dealer. Aquila and Priscilla, guess what they were? Tent maker. They were preaching the gospel. Let's walk away from the thing. I'm suffering for the Lord. Yes, why does it have to be suffering? We all suffer, even if we are still paid. We're still suffering for the Lord. Here's where the problem is. Most people don't read scripture. You don't need to build your house. The Lord is saying, don't build a house because you're going to live in houses that you did not build. Do you know that's a scripture? It's actually in the Bible. The Bible says that you will live in houses that you have not what? Built. You will eat, drink wine and food that you have not. You will not pay with what? With money. But what's the context of that scripture? Oh, the man of God said, so let's not build a house. Let's just go and believe the Lord. And we're going to live in a house we have never built. You might actually do that in heaven. What am I saying? What does the scripture say? Understand it before you just run. Are you with me? Isaiah 8 and 20 reads and says, Isaiah 8, consult God's instruction. In this case, consult God's word and the testimony of warning. Consult the word of God. God, what do you say about X, Y, Z? What does the scripture speak about A, B, C, D, E, F, G? May the Lord's grace abound for all of us. People, how many want to get a prophecy? I have a word for you right now. Okay. John 14:6. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through who? Do you want another one? Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. It says, and he took upon himself, and he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins, and the punishment that brought us peace was laid on him. You want another one? Jesus said in John 14, I go to my Father's house to prepare a place for you, then I'll come back for you. Listen, my heartbeat for you today is simply this. On top of everything else, this must be the foundation. When I tell you to carry the scriptures, when I tell you to carry a hard copy Bible, it's not because I am being old school, because I am still backward. No, I am very forward thinking. The reason people fall to false prophecy is because they do not know what God's word says. We are not willing to spend time to seek God. You're waiting for the man of God to seek God for you. You're going to miss God. Seek God. Jesus says, Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Seek God, people. Spirit and power discernment is about you and I sitting at the feet of Jesus. It's about you and I depending on Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So my challenge to us, even as I close the series, what's your devotion like to God? Do you only wait for Sunday to hear the word of God? Are you hoping from church to church trying to get a word of knowledge? Can I ask you to stop it? Go and sit at the feet of Jesus like Mary did. And Jesus says she's doing the most important thing. Amen. Let me invite you to bow your heads. And I want you to speak to the Lord for the next 60 seconds. Speak to the Lord for the next 60 seconds. I don't know what convictions He has laid on your heart. But I know one thing. He's calling you to Himself. Where you've gone wrong, would you repent? Where you've abandoned God, turn away. Ask Him for mercy. Ask Him for the forgiveness of your sins. Is there someone you have believed more than you have believed the Lord? And while you continue to contemplate on the word of the Lord and respond, I want to make a very open invitation to anyone that is in this place. You have heard the word of the Lord, not just today. The truth of the Lord lingers on in your heart that there's only one way to eternal life. There's only one way to be made right with God. There's only one way for your sins to be forgiven. John 3:3 says this, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven unless they are born again. So you have to make a decision if you want to be a part of the kingdom of God. If you want to live and dwell with the presence of God in your life, you must be born again. So I'm telling you truth. The message I give you today is a word from God, and it's directly in His scriptures. You have to choose to believe. Do you believe that Jesus can save? If you believe but you have never said yes to Christ today, I'm inviting you to say yes to Jesus. Would you raise up your hand? In person, in the overflow, raise up your hand. Say, here I am. I want to believe that. I believe the word of God today. That prophecy, I believe. Would you raise your hand up? Would you raise your hand up? Put it up high. My friend will come to you. A host will come to you. They'll tap you so that you would know that they have taken note. Your raising of the hand is for us to take note of you so we can help you in your next steps of life. In your next steps of life, we see you, young man. We see you, young man. Is there anyone else? Anyone else in this room? You want to come to the faith in Jesus? You may have even walked into this place with someone and you feel a bit awkward because they're next to you. You know what? This decision is between you and God. If you're online and you want to give your life to Christ, you want to surrender your heart to Jesus, just put up an emoji of a hand lifted up and we will take note of you. Is there anyone in the house? Thank you, Holy Spirit. In the spirit of faith, I'm going to ask us to pray together with those that have said yes to Christ online or on air. We'll be right now, pray together. Pray together with me, okay? Not just with me, with all those that are saying yes to Jesus. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus, who was foretold to be the Savior of the world, and it has come to pass. I surrender my heart to Jesus. Forgive me of all my sins. Give me your Holy Spirit that I might live for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Come on, let's celebrate the Lord with a big clap of praise for all those that have said yes to Jesus.
We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey,